Yes, indeed. We are anxiously awaiting any kind of a home improvement question you may have, either by phone or by text. Just one number for either will be 651-461-9226. Our usual number, 651-461-WCCO, if that helps you remember. Good morning, Andy Lindis.
Good morning, Denny. How are you today?
I'm doing well. It's a nice morning. We're getting some text messages that there are some sprinkles happening. Had a message a few minutes ago, sprinkling in Elk River. Had another nice text from a listener a couple miles north of Zimmerman. It's actually raining there right now. Send some of that here. My goodness, it is dry. Well, we don't have that same problem, and I was thinking about what you and I talk about every week and various storms and things that aren't happening here. I can't imagine what it's like in those storm-ravaged areas where people have lost everything. And you and I talk about insurance companies and coverage or lack of coverage. And, and we've had a question last week, I think it was, is this going to affect materials if some of Lindis's customers want to get this done or that done? What do you think is happening?
Well, just taking plywood prices, I've already seen them go up a little bit, but not anywhere near historical highs. You know, we were getting, you know, a 4x8 sheet for around $7-$8 a couple weeks ago, and I want to say it's around 10 now. But that's going to be short-lived. If you recall, Denny, the most expensive I've ever seen sheets of plywood get was like $90 a sheet.
Oh.
And that was during about 2021, I want to say. A few things. We want to blame one. It's never one factor that leads to those types of price increases. Like four or five things happened. It was a cataclysmic collision of stuff that just drove the prices through the roof. And luckily, I don't think we're going to get there this time. A lot of widespread damage, but it could have been way worse. Still some pretty big flooding, a lot of sand that came into homes. But for the most part, It was less damage than we anticipated going into it. So I'm hopeful. I think the biggest thing you're going to see, this is going to affect, again, the insurance industry. And I've spent a lot of time on that this week, whether it was with my people, customers, had a talk with some real estate agents and a banker yesterday. My in-laws were closing on a new home, moving a little bit closer to my wife and I. So they're going to, you know, getting down to one level and having everything all in one spot. And, you know, as we get up in age, you know, we find houses like that and we can age in place. So we're pretty excited to have them a little bit closer to home. But the real estate agents were telling me they've been stopped in closing a couple of times because the new insurance company comes out, inspects the house, and says they will not insure the roof.
Really?
Older than 10 years old. So it makes them scramble and try to find more insurance. And you're seeing this happen around the country. Now, we ask ourselves, why? Because they know any roof older than 10 years old, the chances of it being damaged from wind and hail goes up immensely. In fact, I'd argue at the 7-year mark is when you see the big change in most roofing. So I understand why this is happening, and I do know it's a losing proposition for an insurance company to insure an older roof. And every roofer that's done this long enough, we've had the, you know, on both sides of the coin where, boy, oh boy, this roof probably doesn't need to be replaced, but the insurance company is saying I have to. Or, oh, you guys are lucky hail came through here, because if this roof wasn't leaking already, it was about to. You know, they get it's a 30, 40-year-old roof that they're getting for free because hail came through, and they probably should have replaced it 10 years ago. So I understand, you know, I try to use empathy as much as I can and try to put myself in why these decisions get made. But it doesn't make sense when it's one of the better markets in the country where certain insurance companies are stopping writing insurance. Now, I have some friends in Florida that have the state-ran insurance called Citizens through the state of Florida, and they've had really good luck with the claims. through them. It's been a well-run organization, which for a state-ran organization, I really wasn't thinking it was going to be easy or quick. But I've heard people getting checks within a week, where some of the larger insurance companies in that area or Minnesota, I've fought 18 months before we get a claim. My in-laws, who are from Monticello, have a rental property in their home, two different insurance companies. Now, one is already all settled. They're blocks from each other, Denny. And the other one, we can't even get AAA to call us back. So it's going to the state commissioner next week if we don't get a resolution. We're in a different position because I'm a roofer and they're my in-law, so I can get the roof done before they sell the house. But they can't sell the house to anybody because they can't get it insured. You can't have a mortgage on something you can't insure. Not and believe it or not, most people can't pay cash for a home, Denny. We're seeing cash offers come through, but they're usually corporations that are doing it, which is a whole nother subject and a scary proposition all in itself when you can't look at home prices and wonder if corporate America got out of the way, if these first-time home buyers would have a little bit easier time finding a house. But, you know, I'm just a roofer, Denny, so I'll do what I can. But these letters going out to homeowners from insurance companies are getting scarier and scarier. I saw one this week for a claim. It was a discontinued shingle. Okay, so the manufacturer made this shingle before at 36 5/8. I could be a little bit wrong in my measurements. Now they make the shingle. It's 38 inches long. The insurance company said you can trim the shingles to match the old profile. Therefore, you can repair the roof. Over 100 shingles. Now, if you know anything about roofing, the edge of the shingle, there's going to be some glue that keeps it all together. So that's a bad idea in itself. So we're not going to do that. We're going to fight and see what happens. But it's nothing surprises me anymore. And the more I do this, the harder it gets to work with most insurance companies. Now, the best advice I can give anyone is know who your insurance company is, know who your agent is, know what your policy says. Do not sign any changes to any policy until you know exactly what is going on, because there's a lot of things that have changed over the last few years. And if you do some research and do your due diligence, you can find good insurance companies to this day. But it really comes down, I think it's more important that we have a relationship with our insurance agents now than it ever has been, because the people and my customers that have that ability to talk to those people, go over their policies, and sometimes take flood insurance, for instance, it can be $300-$400 a year, but depending on where you live, if you're in a floodplain, probably a little bit more. But if you have flooding, that can be thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars worth of damage that gets covered. And we run into people all the time. Jesse Treble would talk about it. You just feel sorry for these people that have flooding, but there's no coverage for it whatsoever. So it's all out of pocket. Now you're taking out a home equity line of credit, or you're going to do some type of financing. And right now, those interest rates are crazy. You know, 6 to 10%, depending on the financing you go through. It's not a fun thing to get $20,000-$30,000 unexpectedly slapped on you. But when you have these policies and you do your due diligence with your insurance company, you should be protected. I just Chubb in the Twin Cities here is as easy as any insurance company I've ever worked with. Independent insurance companies. I hear the Canopy Group advertise on CCO. I'm not really familiar with them. But NOAA Insurance out of Western Wisconsin, very similar to that, where they can buy. They have 18 to 20 different insurance companies that they're working with, so they're going to find the best coverage for your situation. When you go through that, and hundreds of claims, so that we've gone through with customers over the last few years, Denny, and so my biases are probably wrong, and give me. Get a little defensive about from the homeowner and the roofer standpoint, but I do know that when I see certain insurance companies, I know it's going to go well.
And, well, you have great perspective, not only as a roofer, but dealing with clients, too. You see it firsthand, and your crews do, too. Say, Andy, we have to take a break, but I want to alert Sheila in Stillwater. We're going to, don't go away. We're going to pick up on your phone call for Andy when we come back. We're in the midst of our home improvement show. If you have a question for Andy, can be related to what we're talking about, can be any project you have in mind. 651-461-9226. Right now in the Twin Cities, we have, let me get my weather up here, 51 now. We've made it up one more degree. We're going to reach about 63 today. And we'll give you full weather details coming along in just minutes. Stay with us. News Talk 830 WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to this portion of our home improvement show. Denny Long here, along with Andy Lindis from Lindis Construction. Andy, we have callers and we have texters. Let's see how many folks we can help out in the meantime. We promised Sheila that she'd be first up here. Sheila, thank you so much. Calling from Stillwater. Thanks for waiting, Sheila. What is your question, please?
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. We have a mice problem. We live in a 20-year-old house with a poured foundation, and they're coming in above that, obviously, where like the wooden two-story house meets the foundation. We have a Trex deck that goes along the whole south side of the house, and it's 2 feet off the ground, and it would be a spectacular place to live if you were a mouse. And they apparently were colonizing under there, and they got in, and you can hear them running along the whole back under the like siding back there, the whole back, and then the other side up, and then they were dropping into our basement bathroom, and I trapped them in the vanity with mouse traps. And so I'm wondering if Lindis Construction would like take off like the first three like Trex boards and then go under there and like look for the mice holes and block them. Is that something that you guys do?
We have done that. Now, one thing you have to remember, I believe a mouse only needs the opening the size of a number two pencil to get into your home. That's how much they can squeeze through there. So when I deal with pest control people, usually some poison is involved. Now, if you have pets, you need to be really, really careful of today's poison. They redesigned it. So the way rodent poison works is it makes them leave the home because they start to search out for water. The old poison, if birds of prey, like owls, would grab them, they could also get poisoned. So they redesigned it, but there's no antidote if your canine or cat get into it. So that could, that vets are having some issues with this and have for the last few years. So it's something to keep in mind when you put the poison out, make sure that pets don't get to it. And then if you were to take some essential oil, like peppermint oil, and put it on a rag in those areas, the mice will stay away from it. You can try to find a way to seal it up. And I've gone in there with spray foam and steel wool before. But I'm telling you, once you have the mice problem, sealing it up might not be the best course of action to get rid of them quickly. I would get some of them. I use the, I don't know, it's purple. I can't even name of the stuff, but it has an actual container that's really hard for pets to get into. And I always put it into an area that the mice go, but my dogs won't be. And I've one time I had a dog get into the poison. We saw it happen, and we peroxided and had the dog throw up purple. I couldn't believe how much purple came up. But then we went right to the vet and had her stomach pumped. And a couple thousand dollars later, the dog was fine. But it's not you got to be careful when you're going through that. But it's not fun. Mice coming into your home. It could be the entire rim needs to be sealed. So just how you said, where the house meets the foundation, a lot of times when we do blower door tests, the amount of air that's leaking through that area is astounding. And I'm telling you, if air can leak through there, it doesn't take much bigger of an opening for a mouse to squeeze their little body through there. I live out in the country, and mice have been something that we've dealt with consistently. And prevention, I found. One time I had a pretty bad infestation and poison got rid of them. But since then, I've been diligent about, I've used mouse magic before with like little peppermint pillows or essential oil that has peppermint in it, goes into all my attic spaces. Any vehicle or lawnmower that's going to get stored for the year is going to get that. Any area that I've had mice before, I'm going to put those in there. And, you know, you can go a little overboard. I've walked in my garage after one occasion, and I must have spilled some peppermint oil or something, and you got hit in the face with peppermint. Only lasted a couple of days. But I'll take that over mice and rodent problems all day, every day. But we've gone out and removed decks and tried to seal, and you know, part of our insulation, Denny, is we do things like that. We seal the entire rim. Mm-hmm. So we would do that project for you. I'm just not sure that that is going to be the be-all, end-all, getting rid of your mice problem now.
We were fortunate years ago, I think it was like 1999 to be exact, that I had a pest control company come over, and I've mentioned this before in the air, and I think you were right. I think all around that periphery of the house, they totally sealed it up. Not steel wool, but in larger holes, they actually used a copper mesh with other sealant. And the guy said, you're never going to have mice again. And you know what? We have not since then. We were lucky in that. But I think that's where they were coming in, where you were suggesting, where the house meets the foundation, right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's an idea. And maybe not all pest control companies will do that very thing. But to ask around, and at least, to me, it's a good start.
It's a great start.
Yeah. All right, I tell you what. Let's do this. I'm going to have that forecast. Let's see what the weather is going to be like here the rest of the weekend and this coming week. And we'll come back and get more questions answered. If you have any kind of a home improvement question, we'd love to hear from you either by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. This is News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with us. And welcome back to this portion of our Home Improvement Show. Andy Lindis from Lindis Construction answering those questions as usual at 651-461-9226. And I'm looking at a text that came in a bit ago. It said, good morning. I discovered I have a 2-inch gap between the base of the chimney and the roof. It is about 8 inches long. How is this repaired, and does the attic need to be inspected in that area? There's no sign of water entering the inside of the house. What would you consider there?
Yeah, if you can see a gap on your chimney where the chimney meets the roof, I'd be really, really surprised if there's not something going on in your attic, whether it's water damage or what. Now, the chimney flashing is relatively easy repair, and it should be pretty obvious. One thing, if you know, our inspections are free, and we do roofing repairs all the time. So if you want, we can come out and give you a free inspection, get in your attic, tell you exactly what we're seeing. We'll back it up with pictures so you know what's going on. You'll know your existing R value, whether or not you have a vapor barrier, and what we have to do to fix your chimney the proper way to make sure that you don't have any water leaking in there. Now, I've seen it where water leaks into an attic for years without showing up in the house. So depending on where this, 8 inches is a pretty big gap. I'd be, unless it's pretty protected from the water, I'd be really surprised that you don't have some type of damage going on in your attic. I'd want to look sooner than later.
And we've talked about this ridge vents for years here on the show. Does Lindis still use those? Is that the most commonly used venting system?
Yes, sir. Yep.
It still
when,
is.
If it has enough ridge, we will use a ridge vent always. Certain roofs and styles and designs, it's not a feasible solution. But making sure you have the proper amount of intake and outtake on your roof is something that we are really, really good at. We're going to be able to look at the house as a whole and make sure that your attic is vented the way it should be. I mean, people talk about this all the time, okay? Going back to what we were talking about earlier with insurance companies, and after 10 years old, they're not going to put insurance on them, okay? The warranties from manufacturers are for manufacturers' defects. Most of them are around 50 years. They might have some proration or not. So it's against manufacturers' defects. Insurance companies know that once a roof is 10 years old, it may or may not get damaged from hail if hail comes through that neighborhood. So it's a risk that somebody way better at math in some back room of an insurance company has figured out that's not worth taking for whatever reason. So it's not that you can't have a roof last that long. It's that when it's 10 years old, it's more susceptible to hail. Same side of that coin, Denny. If it's not vented properly, your shingle life will accelerate. Meaning if it's supposed to last 50 years, but you don't have a properly vented roof, it's going to take that life of the shingle down from 50 to 25 years, making it even more susceptible to hail and wind damage. So if this works, again, it's not just on the insurance companies. It's not just on the roofers. It's not just on the consumer. It's on all of us to do a little bit better. And if we maintain our homes to the best of our ability and have the right ventilation, it's harder for hail to damage our homes. It's harder for wind to damage our homes. So if we take those steps, and we're not talking about a lot of money typically, same thing with algae on your roof. That's starting to eat your shingles. Okay, anything that is alive, algae, moss, those types of things on your roof, it's on your shingle and it's eating your shingle. So you need to remove those as quick as you possibly can and keep that stuff off your roof, or you're going to be paying for a roof sooner than you should.
Hmm. Wow.
I really hope that they come up with some solutions, and I know that you know we're testing different types of materials for roofing all the time, but this is an unsustainable area that we're in right now, and meaning that it's more and more insurance companies that are starting to send letters out like this, and it's going to be harder and harder for us to find it, and I prefer that the states don't get involved, Again, Citizens Insurance in Florida seems to be doing a good job. Now, this is the first real major storm season that that company's gone through, so we'll see how they are after this. Maybe they'll join the rest of the club and be like, "Hey, we're going broke." But we'll wait to see how that goes. And I know GAF is coming out with some pretty awesome stuff. Most of their factories will be up and running with Class 4 next year, and there's going to be more and more Class 4 shingles now. They won't ever tell you it's a hail-proof shingle. It's an impact-resistant shingle. But I can tell you, we've inspected hundreds of those impact-resistant shingles and found no damage. And that's why it's going to be a little over 98% of the roofing that we've installed this year were Class 4 impact-resistant shingles.
How do you think, and we've talked about these solar shingles, will hold up through Minnesota weather?
I anticipate them holding up as good as our roofing, but I do know that they will handle a little bit more hail than some of the panel systems out there, and way easier to fix. Now, if a panel system, these are the systems, the solar systems that sit on top of your roof, have to be replaced, they're not going to cover the roofing underneath it. That's the nice part of the hail. If it does get damaged, it's part of the roofing package, so it should cover everything. But like everything we do, Denny, you know, we'll find out when the first big hailstorms come through how it gone. But we've done our own testing and I believe right now it's a Class 3 impact resistant, and will be Class 4 shingles installed along that next year. But Like all things, we will. It'll get better and better as it ages. And if these storms keep coming hot and heavy, we've been blessed this year. Now, St. Cloud area, Monticello area has had some pretty significant hail events come through, but the Twin City main metro area, luckily, we've dodged most of that this year.
Yeah, for sure. A listener via text says, would you recommend hot roof insulation on a new house? Maybe you can tell us what is a hot roof?
Well, a hot roof is a roof that is not vented at all. Usually the cavity is completely filled with insulation. So it doesn't necessarily mean that roof will be hot. It's just that when you vent a roof properly, what you're trying to do is get the attic space to be the same temperature as it is outside. And if you're going to fill that cavity up completely with insulation, you need to make sure you do a really, really, really good job sealing it This is why spray foam lends itself to hot roofs more than any other type of insulation, because air can travel through all the other insulation. So you need to seal that off completely, make sure no warm air can travel through there. And I would want at least 10 inches seems to be the magic number, you know, even with spray foam and dense packing it full with cellulose over the top of that, that 10-inch number, if you can have a space that big, less ice dam problems. And in some of those cases, there's not enough space, so then we end up putting foam and then a false deck over the top of that. But all of those situations are unique and take some thinking to get through. But when it comes to, so a hot roast NER typically, see a lot on like grate rooms or vaulted ceilings, there's just not any attic space there. So there's not enough room to put, you know, an R60 insulation. So you dense pack that cavity completely full of insulation. And when you put spray foam down first, it does a much better job of keeping the air out than any insulation or vapor barrier will do.
Let us grab a phone call this morning. Greg is checking in from Golden Valley, I do believe. Greg, good morning. What is your question for Andy Lindis?
Good morning, guys. I like your show a lot. I had a rubber roof installed over my kitchen because it's a flat roof there, and it's about 9 years old or so. And I was on there the other day, kind of just getting the leaves off of it, and I noticed it's starting to get a little bit hard. Is there something I can put on top of that rubber to maybe just soften it up again a little bit? I'll hang up and listen.
I know there's cleaning products that they make for the rubber roofing, but I haven't, you know, they come up with these chemicals that you spray on all types of roofing that's supposed to soften them up, but the jury's out for as far as I'm concerned on whether or not they work. But there's cleaning agents for rubber. One thing to keep in mind, look at the seams. If your seams are starting to pull loose, those can be fixed, and there's rubber tape involved, but you really, like, I'm not telling you, it's just not soap and water. You need to get the rubber cleaning agent because it's a lot dirtier than you think. In order to get glue or anything to stick on there again, you need to use the proper cleaning solution on the rubber. But as far as if it's hardening up, I know I'm putting another layer over the top. 15 years seems to be about the general lifespan of a lot of those flat roofs, especially if a lot of tree debris has sat on it over time. So you might want to take a look at getting it inspected, but if it's not leaking, just because it feels a little bit different, I wouldn't worry outside of cleaning it and making sure the seams are still holding the way they should.
Very good. Hang on, Andy. We're going to take a quick break and bring back more show when we come back after the break. Any kind of a home improvement question, call us or text us, 651-461-9226. Right now in the Twin Cities, 51 degrees. We are heading for near 63 today, and that is warm tomorrow. Maybe 54 and a windy Sunday tomorrow, but warming up by the end of the week, we'll be back into the 70s. Right now in CCO, 51 degrees. Stay with us. Welcome back to our Home Improvement Show. We're here every Saturday in the 9 o'clock hour, thanks to Lindis Construction. Andy Lindis, again, answering those home improvement type of questions. Andy, here we are approaching the middle of October, and I always like to ask you, what kind of deals can be had from Lindis Construction?
Well, right now we have free labor on the installation of GAF solar shingles. We have free labor on the installation of Infinity Windows by Marvin, and a free heat map analysis. So if you have one of our specialists out to take a look at your energy consumption, what's going on in your attic, what's going on in your basement, all of your windows and doors, we're going to give you a complete outlook on what's going on in your home and how to make it not only the most energy efficient it possibly could be, but the more comfortable it could be. So then that's, again, all of those initial meetings are free, and you'll any ideas we come up with are yours to keep, and you'll have a detailed plan on what we would do if this were our home.
Yeah, and not only a comfort level, which is obviously important, but money savings down the road. It's a huge savings in some cases. So, yeah, 844-9-LINDIS if you want to get in touch, whatever your project in mind is. 844-9-LINDIS. And I'm looking at a text message for you, Andy. It says, what is the best way to seal a crack between a concrete patio slab and a concrete foundation wall? What product would you think would work there?
OSI makes a concrete sealer. Now, if it's too big of a crack, I would fill it in with something. Before, we use backer rod, which is just it's like a half-inch diameter foam tube. Comes in a box, and you know we put that down, and then the caulking. Otherwise, you're just going to use too much caulking and not get a good enough bead on there. But that be careful. That stuff is really, really sticky. And as it sets up, I've heard more than one occasion where animals have got caught in it. Birds, you know, you name it. You're sealing up your driveway, and there's a reason why you put that plastic over the top of it while it's curing, because they can get stuck in it. And but that does a pretty good job. Remember, all of those parts move. This is why I would use the specific OSIA caulking made for concrete, because of how pliable it is. And it's designed for that product, so it knows how cement moves and will adhere enough to both edges where it gives you the best bet of, you know, you might have to take a look at it and fix it every couple of years, but it should get you through at least two seasons.
All right. Now, this is just a little old statement here all by itself. The insurance company approved shingle replacement and not a new complete roof. Is that a good idea, is the texter's question.
Yeah, it says a little bit up that it's just a few feet below the ridge that they're going to replace. So it's just replacing some shingles. I would have to look at the project to be able to tell you if it's a good idea or not. A good rule of thumb is if more than 40% of the roof has to be disturbed to repair it, it should be replaced. That's what we live by right now and what I've found. So if more than 40% of the roof will have to be worked on, then I would look for replacing it. Now, I don't know what type of shingles you have now, how easy they are to come off. I do know that you can repair a lot of roofs. And why not try that if it's doable? Depending on how old your roof is, again, what I've seen, now say your roof is older than 10 years old, okay? I've seen this happen to major insurance companies. They pay for the repair, you get the repair done, and then the insurance company sends you a letter and says, we will no longer insure you because your roof is older than 10 years. Ask that question that from your insurance company on this repair. Like, if I do this, are you guys going to drop me? And if they say no, get that in writing and go from there. I've seen this at least a half a dozen times now, Denny, where after the repair, the insurance company, again, they live in by their standards and rules that if it's older than 10 years, they're not going to put hail and wind damage on it. And whether or not you repaired it doesn't matter. Now, I'm working with a few different people on maintenance programs and repairs, certified repairs, to try to help the industry along in certifying these roofs. One thing that the state of Florida does that I kind of like is that you have to have inspections of your roof after 10 years, or 10 or 15 years. And it can get recertified, so it can be insured. I thought that was a good thing. One thing anybody that's a snowbird needs to remember, Denny, is that during the summertime in Florida, that's probably, if there's 120 days, 115 of them will have rain. That's 115 chances that your house has to leak. It was like us in June this year. 30 days in June, 28 of them were rain days. Yeah, it was. That's the summertime in Florida. So having your roof inspected annually or semi-annually, not a bad idea. Again, we had that question about 8 inches of flashing missing, Denny. And then another question is like, who inspects these roofs? Well, the flashing, yeah. Everything moves. You know, you're talking about a chimney, wind, a branch flying around, all the storms. It could be just a piece of flashing blew off. Might have passed an inspection. But again, you're talking about a $40 part that if you don't fix it, could lead to thousands of dollars worth of damage. That's why this time of year, if you're not comfortable getting up on your roof, you know, stand far back, take pictures of your roof that you can zoom in. Anything that looks loose or out of place, don't be afraid to send it to an expert or call somebody like us to have an inspection done. And if we can repair your roof, we're going to let you know this is what we can do to repair your roof.
Andy, it's the last minute. I want to read a text that just came in, and then we'll have to say goodbye. Hi, Denny and Andy. I just had Dan from Lindus out to my house yesterday to look at a general insulation issue and review options to prevent rodents from getting into my basement. Speaking of that, Dan went into all my attic spaces, did complete check, as well as my rim joist area. Attic areas were in great shape. We're going to have Lindus remove existing fiberglass baths from the rim joist area and install spray foam. Good for you. Dan was excellent. Looking forward to getting the work done in the coming weeks. That comes from Keith in Ramsey. Thanks, Keith, for letting us know that. Yeah. And I get it, you never get tired of some positive stuff like that. And I know you guys get that all the time. Andy, we're plumb out of time. I think we should do this again next week.
Sounds wonderful. Thank you, Denny.
Yeah, and have a good week, Andy. And again, if you want to get in touch with Lindus, whatever your project in mind, maybe you want to get some of that new insulation. I recommend that. And foam is great. Just call them 844-9-LINDUS, 844-9-LINDUS. Thank you, Ryan Perpich, for running these shows today, and we'll talk soon. And thank you for listening to CCO.